May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1036. Seek ye my face, the Saviour cries, my soul where canst thou find supplies, but in the Lamb for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain. 1036.
Of God's word I would like us to read together. Firstly, from the prophecy of Isaiah, we'll read chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared, the ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbour, and every one said to his brother, Be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, It is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittar tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see, and know, and consider, and understand together, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen, what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them, and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning that we may know it, and before time that we may say, he is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man even among them, and there was no counsellor, that when I asked of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. And if you would turn back to Psalm 61, Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle for ever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God for ever. O, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name for ever, that I may daily perform my vows. And then lastly, we read Psalm 98. Psalm 98. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise, and rejoice, and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. May God bless these portions of his own holy word and help us all to pray. Once more, dear Lord God, it is in thy mercy that we come to another Lord's Day, the many mercies that we enjoy of health and strength to come and gather together in thy house. Lord, we do pray for that time of peace and quiet, not only outwardly. We thank thee, Lord, that we have no expectation of any hindrance or interference in the service, but, O Lord, in our hearts, in our souls, may there be peace and quietness. Lord, there may be many things that concern us as we come together this morning, many different things perhaps of circumstance, and there may be those things in providence, there may be trials and problems and concerns, there may be the things of the soul, perhaps those that feel afar off from thee, those that feel very burdened by their sin, perhaps those who seek some word from thee. Oh Lord, and there are many discouragements in the way, but as we come, Lord, may it be a time when thou wilt cast out all doubts and fears, to cast out the many distractions that these things sometimes bring. Lord, may we come before thee, and that thou wilt give that quietness and peace in our hearts. Lord, one says in the psalm, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Lord, there may be those, perhaps all of us really come with a multitude of thoughts, perhaps our mind in a whirl, as we say. Lord, thou art able to bring comfort and quietness. Lord, we do pray for that sense of thy presence. Lord, we know that thy house is not of a physical building, but thy house is where thy presence is known and felt. Oh Lord, may it be so in our hearts this day. Lord, do be Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, it is thy promise that where thy people gather in thy name, thou art in the midst. And Lord, we have gathered in thy name. We have all, every one of us, made some open show of religion, some declaration that we believe in thee. Else why are we here? But Lord, thou knowest the heart. Oh, may we not be as those that draw near unto thee with our lips, and our heart is still far from thee. Lord, it is solemnly, it may often be the case with us. Lord, we are so hard-hearted and often rebellious against thy will and thy purpose. Oh Lord, we do pray for that softening, that humility to be given, that submission to thy will, that we may truly draw near and say from our heart, thy will be done. Oh Lord, thou knowest the needs of each and every one that is here. And we do pray, Lord, that there may be that supply of all their need. Lord, it may be things that they have been taught by thee that they need. Oh Lord, it may be the work of thy Spirit within them, giving them a seeking heart, perhaps seeking for some particular thing. Lord, if it is of thee, then do submit that need and grant that they may go away satisfied with thy favour, full with the blessing of the Lord. Lord, it may be, though, that some have come not conscious of what they really need. Lord, we are all in that state by nature. Oh, how we need thee. Firstly, to show us our need, to convince us of what it is that we need, and especially, Lord, to convince us of our sin, to make us realise what it is to have sinned against a holy just and perfect God, one who cannot tolerate sin, one who cannot ignore sin, and one who knows our sin. Oh Lord, we do pray that if there are those who have come in any sense of complacency because they have not yet been made to realise how they stand in thy sight, Lord, may this day be the day when thou wilt speak, when thou wilt open their eyes, open their ears to hear thy word, to see themselves and to see thee in truth. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wilt then begin thy work and thou wilt continue thy work, that thou wilt deepen the things that have been begun. Lord, we may have known thee for many years and yet still feel very much our ignorance, feel that there is still very much more that we need to learn. Oh Lord, may we not be those we read of in thy word who are willingly ignorant. May we may feel that ignorance, that lack of learning. Lord, we would come to thee and pray, teach thou me. Oh Lord, we ask that this day may be a day of teaching and instruction through thy word. Oh Lord, thou hast left it on record and we thank thee for it. Lord, we can so easily take thy word for granted, but oh, may we treasure it, may we realise what a privilege it is to have it in our own language, in a faithful translation, that we have eyes to read and that we have comprehension of the words. Oh Lord, to give the application of it with power in our hearts, we pray. May it be a living word, not just a book. Lord, we have many books, but may thy word be a living word in our hearts. Lord, may it have a power that no other book can ever produce. But, oh Lord, when thou dost come and speak through thy word, may we know that this is the voice of our God. Lord, we do pray then that none might be sent away empty from thy house, that none may leave it exactly as they have come, with no favour, no blessing, nothing to ponder in their heart. Lord, we do pray that each may receive something, that each may hear, as it were, in their own language, that which they need to hear. Lord, we do pray for those that are away for various reasons. If any are sick at this time, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bring healing and restoration. There are certainly those in other places that we would bear before thee and ask that thou wilt draw near to them, whether in hospital or in their own home or homes for the aged, wherever they may be. Lord, that they may not lack a visit from thee this day. May it be that they shall be in the Spirit on the Lord's day and have a revelation of thyself. Lord, those who are away on holiday, do watch over them, grant them journeying mercies and bring them home again in peace and safety in due course. Do bless them this day where they meet in thy house, Lord, that they may feel thy presence there, that thou wilt speak to them where they are. Lord, any who have every opportunity to come, but no desire, oh Lord, thou knowest where they are also. Lord, we do pray for such. Lord, we know that often they are, as it were, beyond our reach, but never beyond thy reach. Lord, do draw them back. Do, Lord, change the heart where there is that stony, unyielding heart, Lord, do remove it and grant a heart of flesh, a living, beating heart. Oh, Lord, we do pray that by thy power thou would draw back any who have wandered away from thy fold, wandered away from the paths of truth and of righteousness. And Lord, that something that they have heard perhaps in former days, perhaps in the Sunday school or in the services, Lord, might be used to bring back to their remembrance. Lord, it is the work of the Holy Spirit, as we read, he shall bring to your remembrance all things that I have said unto you. Oh Lord, may that be so still in such hearts, we pray. Lord, there are many others who perhaps have never set foot in thy house, here or anywhere else, never had any interest in religion. Oh Lord, may it please thee still to speak to such, to awake them to their need and compel them to come in. Lord, there is through thy word a great feast provided for the hungry, for the poor and the needy. Lord, so few feel to be poor and needy, so few have a hunger or thirst for righteousness, but thou art able, Lord, to work. So we do pray, oh Lord, may we never be satisfied, as it were, and not make this a matter of prayer, but thou wilt bring in others, that thou wilt gather in from the darkness of our sinful nature those to whom thou wilt reveal the light, the marvellous light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, do create such a felt need and desire in the heart, and may that be satisfied through thy word in thy house, here and elsewhere. Lord, may there be that mighty outpouring of thy Spirit, for nothing else will suffice. But Lord, do work mightily. We acknowledge with a truly thankful heart, Lord, for all thy mercies and thy blessings that we do see. Oh Lord, thou art still working. Thou art still beginning a work and deepening a work. And Lord, we acknowledge thy goodness. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt go on, that thou wilt not cease thy work. Lord, may we see it and rejoice. Lord, we pray for our nation. Lord, we live in very uncertain times, and Lord, we commit all these things to thee. Oh, Lord, the hearts and minds of all men and women are in thy hand. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt guide and direct them to the right way. Oh, Lord, whatever that may be, that they shall make right decisions. And oh, Lord, that it shall even be in the fear of the Lord, for they are not beyond thy power. Oh Lord, there seem few who are interested in thee and what thou wilt have them to do. But Lord, there are some, and such we commit to thee and pray that thou wilt uphold and strengthen them. Lord, that thou wilt also work in others to make them desire to know and then to do what is thy will. Oh Lord, do overrule all these things for good, and may it be a time when we shall see that thou art indeed a prayer hearing and answering God. Lord, we do pray for all then in authority over us, our Queen and her family. Lord, do bless them, perhaps this day hearing thy word. Lord, do help whoever speaks to them in thy name. May they prove to be a faithful ambassador of Christ to them. Lord, do give them a hearing ear and a believing heart, if it may be thy will. And all in government and in the law courts, all the decision makers, as it were, Lord, that they may be led by thy Spirit. Lord, do preserve us still in peace and quietness nationally. And Lord, we know it isn't in a perfect peace, as it were, but still we are greatly blessed and favoured in so many ways. Lord, do keep us from taking it for granted. May we be thankful. May we continue to pray for these daily blessings and daily mercies. Lord, we read that thou dost daily load us with benefits. Lord, it is no small provision. It is a great thing that thou doest for us every day. Lord, may we be more thankful, more full of praise, more desirous to glorify thy holy name. Lord, as we continue through the service, may we each be led by thy Spirit. Oh Lord, may the word spoken, the meditation of our heart, and now the words of our mouth be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And Lord, do give that hearing here. May there be those who, as it were, on the stretch to hear something from the Lord. One said, is there any word from the Lord? My servant Jeremiah said, there is. Lord, may it be so with us. And if, like that occasion, it is a word which they did not want to hear, yet, Lord, do subdue that spirit and show that this is thy word and that this is the time of blessing. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt hear the silent petitions, the cries, the sighs, the groans that have gone up unto thee. Unknown will always be unknown to each of us, but Lord, thou knowest. If any have not prayed at all, Lord, may it please thee to bring them so that we may say, behold, he prayeth, or she prayeth. Lord, do look down upon us each in thy mercy. We have this much in common, that we are all guilty sinners. Lord, we have all rebelled against thee. We have all transgressed thy law and thy commandments. And Lord, we continue to do so. Oh, we pray that that may be a burden and a grief to us, that we shall not be happy, as it were, to continue in that way, though we know that is the lot even of thy people, to sin. But Lord, may it not be, as it were, willingly. Oh, but may we mourn, may we confess it, may we bring those things to thee and seek thy pardon. Lord, do give to each a truly repenting spirit, a desire to forsake and put away those sins that trouble us and grieve thee. Lord, do receive us in thy mercy and wash us clean from all iniquity in the precious blood of Christ. We ask in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 1074. When, gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in thee, the fullness of thy promise prove, the seal of thy eternal love. 1074.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant us all his much needed help, let us consider together words you'll find in Psalm 98 and verse 3. Psalm 98 and verse 3. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. It is especially the latter part of this verse that has laid on my thoughts, but of course there is a connection. It is all one sentence, and I want to speak of the mercy of God also. But all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. It's been very much in my thoughts in recent weeks. As it were, the dispersing, and it may not be physical, but in our feeling, in our experience, the dispersing of the Lord's people, often, as it were, to remote places, to the ends of the earth, whether that be as a result of their own sin and their folly, like that young man that we read of, often referred to as the prodigal son, but how he went to a far country, as it were, to the ends of the earth. There are others whom God has sent to remote places. But firstly, my thought is this: there are those who, as it were, wish to be at the end of the earth. They wish to escape from God. We think of Adam and Eve when they first sinned in the Garden of Eden, and it was brought home to them, evidently through the Holy Spirit convicting them that they were sinners. They had blatantly disregarded and contradicted the clear command of God. And their reaction was to hide, wasn't it? To get away from God. There's no reason, obviously, to think they left the Garden of Eden in a physical way, but really in their hearts they wanted to be at the end of the earth, didn't they? Get as far away from God as they could. There was Jonah. I feel there are so many lessons in that book of Jonah. But one of them is this: he clearly knew the will of God, didn't he? I feel we must just linger on that point for a moment. Many say, and it's a good desire, certainly, but they say, I want to know the will of God. And it always bothers me if that is the full extent of their desire. Of course, we need to know the will of God, but we need to do it as well. And Jonah is a very clear example, isn't he, of one who knew who knew very definitely what the will of God was: go to Nineveh and preach against it. But he did not obey it. He, figuratively, he went to the ends of the earth to avoid it, didn't he? He went exactly in the opposite direction, as far away. I was thinking of this, really. Tarshish, we understand, was on the southern coast of Spain, really almost at the very edge of the then a known world. He really was trying to go to the end of the earth, to escape from having to do God's will. He sought to be away from God, and many do. And I was thinking of what we read concerning the end of the world. I mean, in the sense when it comes for the time for God to destroy the world, there will be those who then seek for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Sometimes thought of that when we're in a place where there are rocks and mountains, and what a terrible thing it would be, naturally, to suddenly see all those rocks come tumbling down, and we know we're going to be crushed and underneath them, and that there would be no escape from them. That would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? But so great will be that fear of judgment for many that that would be their preferred outcome. But none can ever escape God. Now, we read in Job, and Job, of course, was someone who had very great and deep trials, didn't he, that he had to pass through, but those things were clearly sanctified by God. That is, they were made of use in deepening the work in Job's heart. Job learned a great deal from those trials, didn't he? And how we can see at the end of that book how greatly he was blessed. I think he would not have wished it otherwise. By the end, when he saw what God had done. But one of the things that he came to know is this: for he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven. He looketh unto the ends of the earth. No one can escape God, can they? No one can get away from his presence. No one is able to go so far that God cannot and does not see them where they are. Now, we read in Hannah's prayer, almost one could say, I think, her psalm that Hannah spoke after she had prayed for that son. And she says this, she goes further even, as it were, than Job: the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. Not only is everyone in his sight, wherever they are, but everyone will be subject to his judgment. Now, this is a very a solemn word, isn't it, for those that are far off from God. Those are, I mean, speaking for the moment, of those that are left far off from God, who are never drawn near unto God, those whom he never goes out after, as it were, those who are left at the ends of the earth. They'll still face judgment. They will still appear before God. Perhaps to speak more of that this evening, God willing, but the point is this: they must appear before his judgment seat. Though they've lived their whole life so far off from God, there will be a time when they will be near to him, when they will be before him, and they will be conscious of it. Oh, now they might be at the ends of the earth and have no knowledge of God, no understanding, no desire. As we read, God is not in all their thoughts, perhaps. But he will be then. There will not be one left who doesn't know God on that day, know the reality of God, realize the justice and the holiness of God. And sadly, if left until that day in that state to know the wrath of God in everlasting punishment for their sin, need to be wary of these things. It's so much in my thoughts. I've probably said it here before. I know I say it often, but just because we are here, just because we're in this chapel or any other chapel, does not mean that we're close to God. It's a good thing to be here, but it's not. Mathematics, you have a phrase, some of you may be know it, necessary but not sufficient conditions. And that's one of those. It's a necessary thing, it's a good thing, but you need more than that. Just being in a service, attending a service, isn't salvation, is it? You can still... this is why I feel it so much. You can still be at the end of the earth, even though you're in a service, though you're in a chapel building. Jesus spoke so solemnly, didn't he? It is so often in my thoughts, this people draweth near unto me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's very solemn, really, because not only is it not sufficient, but it's also very hypocritical, isn't it? If we're saying, well, as long as the outside looks good, as long as the appearance is all right, as long as we look the part, that's all that matters. How very sad that is. Jesus used a very powerful expression, didn't he, concerning the Pharisees, that they were whited sepulchres. We might say whitewashed gravestones. They look very smart, they look very bright and clean and so on, but inside is rottenness and corruption. The ends of the earth. But I want to come now to those that are feelingly at the ends of the earth in their experience, but do not wish, as it were, to remain there. Do not wish to be far off from God. That may be how they feel. The Lord has sent this word, and as we believe, we've been led to it. It must be so. Some here may feel, yes, I've tried to draw near, as it were. I'm in the right place on the Lord's day, but my heart is far off from God. I'm cold and hard-hearted. I'm unfeeling. Maybe it's this. It came to me in the vestry. Maybe it's that you feel so ignorant of the things of God. But that's not what you want. It's not what you desire. Peter, I think I said this in prayer, but Peter in his epistle speaks of those who are willingly ignorant, doesn't he? They don't know anything, and they're quite happy not knowing anything. Oh, but to be one who, yes, maybe you feel so far off because of a lack of teaching and knowledge you feel in your heart, but you do desire to know it. David says in Psalm 22, "Be not far from me, O Lord." Perhaps that's the prayer of one or more here this morning. Yes, you do feel to be far off, but your prayer is that it should not last, that distance, as it were, should be bridged, should be narrowed, that the Lord would draw you to him. Or it may be that the Lord would come to you, as it were. Thinking of the sheep recently, as we've seen them away on holiday up in the the hills and miles from any habitation. I'm thinking of that parable that the Lord spoke about the shepherd that if he's lost one sheep, he goes out and seeks for it until he finds it. Seemed to me so much comfort to be drawn from that word until. We may look for many things and give up. We're too tired, or we haven't got the energy, or perhaps the thing wasn't really of such great value that it's worth the time and the effort to carry on looking. And so we give up. But there we read, he goes after that sheep until he finds it. There's no possibility, as I hope we shall see this morning, of God giving up, of leaving a sheep at the end of the earth and not finding it, not bringing it back. And that's lovely in that parable as well, isn't it? The sheep, perhaps it had wandered so far it was exhausted, or perhaps it has fallen down and couldn't get out of a place, or perhaps it was injured, and he bore it back. He lifted it up and carried it back. I think also of that parable of the Good Samaritan. That man, perhaps one here feels like it. He was so wounded, wasn't he? Bruised and battered by the thieves that had attacked him. Had no strength at all, did he, to go anywhere, to do anything. But the Samaritan, we read, came where he was. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? The Lord coming where that one is. The one who is so needy. The one who is at the end of the earth and doesn't feel that they themselves can do anything about it. Oh, to look to him, to pray this prayer, be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. The hymns that we've sung, not really used the same language, but they've roughly really been on this subject, haven't they? That real seeking, that real desire, and that, particularly the second hymn, the felt inability to do these things, but oh, to be encouraged by the word of God. To pray then, to look to him. In the reading that we had in the 41st chapter of Isaiah, we have there much encouragement, don't we? But thou, Israel, art my servant. This word servant is repeated here and again. One feels the need to emphasize it. The word of God says, his servant ye are, to whom ye yield yourselves obedient. If you're not being obedient, you're not a servant. It doesn't mean you're not one of the Lord's people. We all, to some extent, are disobedient. That's the very nature of sin, isn't it? Oh, but where his will is known, where his commands are clear, and you cannot truthfully say you don't know the will of God. But oh, is there that obedience? Are you a servant? Why, the Lord said, didn't he? Why? What a question. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You're saying Lord, you're saying I'm your master, you're saying you're a servant, but you're not doing it. When I give a command, you're disobedient. When I reveal my will, you choose something else. Oh, are we true servants? I know it's customary to refer to the ministers as the Lord's servants. Well, I'm not sure that's always right. We're not always as obedient ourselves as we should be. But I think the danger is it makes it sound as if it's only the public ministry that needs a servant, when every believer should be a servant. That's not restricted to any particular role or function. The Lord says, "Thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." This is a lovely phrase, isn't it? I've not really considered it before, but in verse 9 of that chapter, "Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth." Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. The Lord's work, the Lord's doing. "And called thee from the chief men thereof," called thee out of the earth, called thee out of the sinful world, "and said unto thee," as a reminder, you see, he's already described them as Israel, "Thou Israel art my servant," but now he reminds them again, "Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away." Oh, this is a wonderful word of comfort, isn't it, to one at the end of the earth who feels cast out of God's sight. That was what Jonah felt, wasn't it? Jonah, as I've already said, he desired to be out of the sight of God. He desired to be out of the presence of God. But when he was, he didn't like it. When he was, when in that sense, and don't misunderstand me, but to that extent, he had achieved his aim. But then he didn't like it, did he? And then he realized what an awful thing it was. He said, "I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again to thy holy temple." He was one who really was praying, "Be not far from me," wasn't he? "Don't leave me here. It's my own sin and folly that has brought me to the end of the earth." And what a terrible experience that must have been for Jonah. He must really have felt at the end of the earth, mustn't he? The storm would have been frightening. Being cast into the waves, I'm sure, would have been an awful experience. Seeing the ship, no doubt, disappear away from him. Know that there was no no hope of salvation there. And then to be swallowed up by a great fish. He must have been terrified. Must really have felt at the end of the earth. But he knew where to look. His prayer came into God, and he had that faith to believe it, didn't he? Read the book of Jonah at your leisure again. Remind yourself of Jonah's experience. He looked again, and he had faith that God would hear what he cried. His prayer would come in to God. "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away." And then what is the comfort? "Fear thou not." Oh, perhaps one here is very afraid of something, very fearful. "Fear thou not." Why not? "For I am with thee." Oh, you're not really out of the presence of God, out of the sight of God, out of the hand of God, out of God's control in your circumstances. "I am with thee." You may feel like that, but it's not true. That isn't the fact of the matter. "I am with thee." I love that name that was given to the Lord Jesus, wasn't it? Emmanuel, God with us. Again, there is so much in there. I am. These words, I am, speak of God, don't they? He told Moses, when Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" He said, "Tell them, I am hath sent thee." I am the only person who can always say that in the present tense, I am. With all of mankind, there are those that have been, but are no longer. We are able at the moment to say I am, but we won't be able to say it for very much longer, will we? None of us, even the youngest, in 100 or so years, will not be able to say I am. And there are those that will come in the future. But only God can always say, I am. I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. In the words of our text, we have it at the end of the verse, don't we? Our God. I think the very first time I ever came to you for a prayer meeting in the room at the back there, it was concerning that prayer of Jehoshaphat in the second book of Chronicles in chapter 20. You can see there the importance of that in his prayer, how he establishes with the first three, I think it is, questions, the majesty, the power, and so on of God. But all of that, and I say it reverently, all of that is irrelevant until that fourth question, art thou not our God? Well, the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Perhaps your fear is that you are too weak for whatever is set before you, that you need strengthening. Well, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, the Lord is very wonderful in bearing with us, as it were, with all our failings and our shortcomings, how he, as it were, steps in and provides the strength, the help, the wisdom that we need. Now, for those that feel to be then at the ends of the earth, but have that cry, that prayer in their heart. A little later in this prophecy of Isaiah, we read this: "Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations." And he goes on, "There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." I stand to be corrected, but I think that there are only these two places in the Bible where you have those exact words, "all the ends of the earth." And it's very significant, isn't it? "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. This is not a prayer that God will disregard. This is not a desire that God will ignore. Because if we have such a desire, God gave it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to have put that desire, that cry in our heart. Therefore, God cannot deny his own work. I am God, and there is none else. Especially there in the context, then, he's contrasting it with the many idols that the people of Israel had. But he says now, look unto me. This is the only place to look. This is the only way of salvation. There's no other God. There's no other Saviour. Wherever we may be, whatever may be our experience, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I have said before, I'm not sure if I said it here, but forgive the repetition if so, but you think of that great camp of the children of Israel in the wilderness. We don't know the precise number, but certainly they were hundreds of thousands together going through the wilderness. And as they pitched their tents and all the necessary land for their animals and so on, it would have been a vast encampment, wouldn't it? It must have covered many, many acres of ground. And you remember how that in their disobedience, their murmuring against God, he sent those fiery serpents to bite them. And Moses was told to make the serpent of brass and lift it up on a pole. Well, there was only one brass serpent, wasn't there? There was only one place that Moses could ever be at a time. And again, I say it reverently, but there was someone standing right next to Moses, wasn't there? Someone who only had to lift up their eyes, as it were, and they could see every detail of the engraving of that serpent. They had a great knowledge of it, an in-depth knowledge of it. They could see it very clearly, and they were saved. But there was another one. Well, there were others who were much further off, and there was another one who was the furthest off of all of them, wasn't there? Someone who was right at the edge of the camp, the outermost or uttermost part of the whole encampment. Now, he or she couldn't see the serpent clearly, could they? Couldn't really probably see any detail at all. But they could see it, they could look towards it, and when they looked, they lived. It doesn't say when they saw every detail, they lived. Perhaps one here, as I've said, mourns your ignorance, your lack of detailed knowledge, many things that you would like to know further, that you, as it were, if you came closer, if you were drawn nearer, you would learn those things. But the salvation to that person was just as secure, wasn't it, when they looked? Because in that looking, they were exercising faith in their heart. They believed in the appointed way that God had set before them, by which he would save them, in that sense, save them from the bite of the serpents. When he looked, he lived. Now God says here, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Oh, however far off, however little, as it were, you feel to know, is there that faith to look? Faith is the gift of God, remember. And what he has given, he won't then again deny it, will he? If he has given faith and said that by faith, by grace are we saved through faith, he won't then not save that one. Be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Now, these things are, as it were, I've tried to speak in general terms, in the sense of the experience of any of the Lord's people in these things, but they are also very personal, aren't they? We can't continue, as it were, in generalities. There must be a personal knowledge and a personal application of these things. This is why we read Psalm 61. Oh, David there, He begins, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." But this is it: "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." Well, you may say, well, yes, we've heard all about those who are at the end of the earth crying unto God, but what about I will cry? I will cry. When my heart is overwhelmed. I was thinking about that this morning, and perhaps that thought may rise up in our heart. Well, surely if I was one of the Lord's people, if he did have any purpose of mercy and truth toward me, then my heart wouldn't be so overwhelmed. But, you know, really, I think it's the other way round. The fact that we feel our heart to be so overwhelmed is an evidence that the Lord is making us feel that, if it results in a cry to him. And we won't cry to him until our heart is overwhelmed. All the time we've got some strength, all the time we've got some wisdom, all the time we think we can find our own way out, we're not going to cry to God, are we? Just thinking of that Psalm 107, quite a well-known psalm, isn't it? And again, well, of course, like all the Word of God, I was going to say it's very instructive. All the Word of God is very instructive. But there, I think it's four times you read four different experiences. And remember, they are all experiences of the redeemed of the Lord. Sad that some of those experiences speak of their own sin and folly, but nevertheless so it is. But in all four of those cases, it is really when their heart is overwhelmed, isn't it? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Oh, do you know what it is to be overwhelmed? And especially is it this, that it is that burden of sin. It is the knowledge that you cannot put that right, that you cannot make an atonement for your sin. Oh, how overwhelming is that burden to the child of God. But that is when we cry unto the Lord, because that's when we know there's only one God, only one Saviour, only one who can help, only one who is willing to help. Oh, how wonderful is this mercy that is spoken of here, isn't it? He hath remembered. Of course, we need to be clear that God does not forget in the sense that we do. Our forgetfulness is because our minds are finite and we can't retain everything that we have ever known. But with God, there's no weakness of that sort, is there? And when we read about God remembering, or a prayer to God to remember something, it really means bring it to the forefront, doesn't it? If you like, to put it simply, do something about it. He hath remembered his mercy. It's not just, words fail, but it's not just as if God thinks, oh yes, I do have mercy, or I am a merciful God. But it's applying it, isn't it, to this one at the end of the earth. He remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. Not an abstract concept, but something that is applied to their heart, something that they experience. Oh, if we are overwhelmed with guilt and with that burden, then he remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. And this certainty of the outcome, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. There's no part, no place, no experience where his salvation could not come. Again, one thinks of Jonah. What is the conclusion of Jonah's prayer from the end of the earth, inside the belly of the whale? What was his conclusion? Salvation is of God. He knew it. He knew it personally. He knew the only hope for him was that God would remember his mercy and his truth toward Jonah. There's no other possibility of being delivered, was there? But salvation is of God. Of course, in Jonah's case, there was also the teaching that it was not for him, as it were, to restrict that salvation. That was why he didn't want to go to Nineveh, wasn't it? He didn't want them to be saved. They were traditionally enemies of the people of Israel. And he thought, if I don't go there and preach, then they can't be brought to repentance and they'll never be saved. He was trying to restrict the salvation of God. He had to learn that all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. We need to be careful as well, don't we, that we do not attempt to restrict it. All the ends of the earth, or to pray, as it were, for those at all the ends of the earth, and to that God would remember his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. That doesn't just mean nationally the people of Israel, does it? But all of his true church, his one church, all believers. What a blessing it is to know that God has that mercy, even to one who's come from the end of the earth, one who he has brought from the ends of the earth. One goes back again to that son who had gone off into a far country, lived a terribly sinful, riotous life while he had money and goods available. Oh, how he was drawn back, wasn't he? He wasn't left in the far country. He was brought back to his father's house in a confession and repentance over his sin. And how he was welcomed. There was mercy there, wasn't there? He was forgiven. He was welcomed back into the household, not rejected, not told, well, you went so far away that you can't come back. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Well, whether this word is applicable to us and our situation and our experience, or whether it is a word concerning one that we are burdened for, as it were, one that we would pray for. It's, I believe, a comfort to the people of God that not one of those sheep should ever be lost, not one of those for whom he died will ever perish, however far away. May we be enabled by the help of God to lay these things to heart, to be encouraged in our prayers, in our cries unto God. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £655, for which we are truly thankful. And God willing, Mr. Walboys will address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day, who also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 796. When we pray or when we sing, or read or speak or hear, or do any holy thing, be this our constant care, with a fixed and constant faith, Jesus Christ to keep in view, trusting wholly in his death, in all we ask or do. 796.
to all who are exercised by these things. We do pray that thou wilt show thyself the God of all comfort, that they may be encouraged that seek thee, those who, though feeling afar off, yet their desire, their thought is toward thee. Lord, do remember each for good. And if any still remain afar off and know not the perils and the dangers of that, may it please thee, Lord, to open their eyes and cause them to look unto thee. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Christ the Son, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.